Okay, hello everybody, good evening, a good Erev Shabbos, a good Erev Yom Tov. Someone messaged me this morning, is there Pirkei Avos Shir tonight? I said yes. She said, I can't even keep track of what day it is, I'll try and join. So yes, it's Erev Shabbos, Orel Yom Shishi, Yod Beis Tishrei. So welcome everybody back to Pirkei Avos class. Next week is Chol Hamoed. There is no Shir on Chol Hamoed. We resume Be'ezrat Hashem the Thursday after Yom Tov, whatever the date is. Okay, the next year after tonight is Be'ezrat Hashem, October the 20th. There's no shir next week. Please don't zoom in on October the 13th. Okay, we have two sponsors tonight. It's Kulu Mitzvos and Ma'asim Tovim. One of them wants to remain totally anonymous. I said, should I announce anything in honor of her memory? If she said no. So it's a woman who I thank very much, who learns with me in a number of venues, and she's just sponsoring for the schus of sponsoring the Torah. So it should be a schus for her and her family. Of course, I know who it is. She does, your Baruch Shalom does. And I thank her very, very much. And she said, no, it's not an honor and memory of anything, just for the sponsorship. So Tizke Mitzos and Maisim Tovim. The other sponsor is a friend, a longtime learning partner, Sarah Bodner, who now is Sarah Bodner Pfeffer, Baruch Hashem. And she is sponsoring in honor of her marriage this past Sunday to Mr. Harry Pfeffer. And we wish Mrs. Sarah Bodner Pfeffer, or Mr. Harry Pfeffer, if you know either of the couple, a lot of mazel and bracha and simcha, nachas from their families, arichos yamim v'shanim, to enjoy this time, Baruch Hashem, together in their lives. Hodu Hashem kitov, kili olam chasto. I thank both the anonymous sponsor and my friend Sarah Bonner Pfeffer for their generous sponsorship of tonight's year. Let us learn. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing right away with you. Okay, here we go. Could you see on the top of my screen it says Avos 3:12? Yeah, okay, excellent. Thank you so much. So let us begin. What you're going to see is this is three Mishnayos from three different Prakim in Pirkei Avos, but which touch upon a common midah, which I want to speak about giving in Yanei Diyoma. I consider this a tremendous chus. I'll tell you why. Every shir is a chus. I think every shir is a chus. Not I think. Every shir of Divrei Torah is a chus. But this is my only, the way the calendar falls out, my only sukkahs shir. So Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, let us have some inspiration for the upcoming Zman Simcha Seinu, which is exactly what I want to talk about tonight. So a number of different places in Pirkei Avos, you see the importance of this Midah of Simcha. Okay, so you first see here on my screen, you said you could see, the Mishnah tells us in Perek Gimel, Rabbi Yishmael says, Heve kal l'rosh v'noach l'sishchoras, like from the word shachor, black. Heve kal l'rosh v'noach l'sishchoras, v'heve mekabel es kol ha'adam b'simcha. Rabbi Yishmael teaches us you should be yielding to a leader, kal, like light, to Rosh, to the head of the community. So lower yourself, humble yourself, know your place vis-a-vis a leader. The Noach l'sishchoras. Noach is like at rest before someone who's of black hair. In other words, affable to the black hair. Again, know your position before a distinguished person. But what I want to focus on is Heve Mekabel es kol ha'adam b'simcha. So this is what Rabbi Shmuel teaches. It's very important for us to know, even though you have to lower yourself and be yielding to a leader and be affable to the black haired, nevertheless, Heve Mekabel Kol Adam B'Simcha, whoever it is, from a prominent person to an anonymous person, from a distinguished person to a regular Joe Shmo, Michotev Eitzecha Ad Show Ev Meimecha, whoever is standing before you, Hevi Mekabel is called Adam B'Simcha. This idea of having Simcha in your life, in your Avodas Hashem, in your interaction between Adam and Chaveru. Then we move to Perek Dalet, very, very famous Mishnah right in the beginning of Perek Dalet. Ben Zoma Omer, I'm not going through the whole Mishnah for purposes of Ashir. Ben Zoma teaches us, Ezehu Ashir, who is a wealthy person, Hasameich B'Chalko. A wealthy person is someone who has simcha in his lot. Simcha is joy, contentment, happiness, appreciation. Hasamech v'chalko, someone who has simcha in his portion. Shenema, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Yegia kapecha kisochal ashracha v'tov lach. You shall enjoy the fruit of your labor. Yegia kapecha, like the palm of your hand. Okay, you will be weary, you will be tired, your hand will be tired, but you will eat. Ashracha v'tov lach. It will be fortunate for you and good for you. So when again, Ashracha ba'olam haza v'tov lech olam haba. If you take contentment and you have satisfaction from the work of your hand, then it will be good for you, fortunate for you in this world, and good for you in the next world. So it is very important for a person to be able, if they work and they toil and whatever comes their way, to derive satisfaction, contentment, happiness, and joy from his chelak, from his portion. It will not only be good for you in this world, it will be good for you in the next world. Once again, the Mishnah is focused on this midah of simcha. And then in Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav, in the last Perek of Pirkei Avos, so the Mishnah tells us, Gedola Torah, it's Perek Vav plus Mishnah Vav, like you could see on my screen, Gedola Torah yosir mina kahuna umina machus, Torah is greater than kahuna and machus. Shamachus niknes b'shloshim mailos, because when it comes to malchus, dominion, kingship, it is acquired with 30 milos, 30 levels, v'hakuna be'esrim v'arba, and the kuna is acquired with 24. When it comes to Torah, there are 48 midos that a person needs to acquire in order to cultivate a lifestyle of Torah. I think I told you before, I heard Rabbi Zavlev point out a while ago, that Chayol, Ches Yod Lamed, is the gematria 48. Ches is 8, it's an easy gematria. Yud is 10, and Lamed is 30. Okay, 8 plus 10 plus 30 is 48. And it just tells you something incredible. Delta Eshas Chaya, she's supposed to cultivate within herself, really, all the midos by which Torah is acquired. A Gibor Chaya, someone who acquires the midos by which Torah is acquired. But if you look in that whole long list, and you see there's only two on my screen here, because we do not have time to go through any of these Mishnayos in depth, I'm bringing you each of these Mishnayos from three different Prakam in Perkei Avos to show you that there is clearly a very important focus on having simcha, being besimcha, and greeting other people with simcha. So two of the mailos, the attributes, the levels by which the midos, by which Torah is acquired, one is besimcha, and a different one, it's not the same one, v'hasamech b'chalko, once again, this idea of being besimcha. So you one trait by which Torah is acquired is simcha. We know David HaMelech tells us in Kapitel Kof of Tehillim, Ivdu es Hashem besimcha, bo lefana b'rnana, serve Hashem with simcha, come before him with joy, with song. And so the Mishnah says there that there are two of the traits by which Torah is acquired. One is besimcha, and the other is samech b'chalko. And it's just, sometimes we forget that the Mishnah tells us in two different pieces the importance of simech b'chalko. One time it's in Perak Dalad, Mishnah Aleph, the very famous Benzoma Omer, Ezu Chacham, Ezu Hu Asher, Ezu Gibor, Ezu Mechubad. So there, Benzoma tells us, Ezu Asher Samech Bechalko. But interestingly, at the close of Pirkei Avos, towards the end of Perak Vav, the Mishnah tells us there as well that if you want to really be a Ben Arbas Torah, if you want to live a Torah lifestyle, you must be a Samech Bechalko. So these are three different Mishnahs that we looked at. Once again, just to quickly review, in Perak Gimel, like you see on my screen, Rabbi Yishmael tells you, Hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam besimcha, you must greet the entirety of a person with joy. Ben Zoma tells us, if you want to know what a wealthy person is, it's not Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos, it's somebody who is sameach b'chalko, content, happy, satisfied, joyous with his portion. Not only will you have a positive life in this world, which you will be much more contentment in this world if you're satisfied with what you have, if you're constantly jealous and looking at what other people have, your olam haba will be hell. And your next world won't be so good either. So the Mishnah tells you that if you're Samech B'chalko, it will be Ashrecha B'olam Haza, fortunate in this world, the Tov Lach Olam Haba, good for you in the next world. And finally, in Perek Vav, when it comes to the 48 traits by which Torah is acquired, so v'hatorah niknes bar by mishmar advarim, so when it comes to the chayel, eshas chayel, gibor chayel, ches yod lama, the 48 traits by which Torah is acquired, two of them deal with simcha, one is just to be besimcha, and the other is Samech Bechalko, to be satisfied, content, happy with his portion. So you see, there's a very strong focus in Pirkei Avos on this topic of Simcha. Why did I choose to do this specifically now? Because it is very much in Yonei Deyoma. Because on Sukkos, not only do we have the mitzvah of Leishev Basukha, and not only do we have the mitzvah of the Arba meaning, but there is an explicit biblical command to be Besimcha on the mitzvah of Sukkos. So I'm going to screen share again to the next thing that I prepared. Okay, can you see that I went to Vayikra? Well, I don't know if you could see it, that it's Vayikra, but take my word for it. It's Vayikra Perchav Gimel. Can you see? Okay, so we're going to go down towards the end. The Torah here in Parshas Emor goes through the calendar year, and we're going to go to the end, because what we are concerned with for tonight's year is the Chag HaSukkos. Okay, it's Pasuk Lamed Tes. Here we go. Ach, so I'm in Parchov Gimel of Vayikra Pasuk Lamed Tes. Okay, you said you could see. So follow along with me. Ach, b'chamish arso yom lechodesh hashvi. The Torah counts the months from Nisan. If you count from Nisan, the seventh month is Tishrei. Bat on the but it doesn't. Okay, it doesn't matter for tonight. Ach, b'chamish arso yom lechodesh hashvi. Ba'as b'cham es tvuas haaretz. However, on the 15th of the seventh month, be'aspechem es tvuas haaretz. That's why Sukkos is also known as Chag Ha'asif. It's right here. Aleph Samech Pei, Chag Ha'asif. It's the festival of the gathering in. Why? It signifies the end of the summer, the end of the harvest. It's before the winter rains come. So the farmers were bringing everything in from their fields to survive through the harsh, cold, rainy, Baruch Hashem blessing winter of Eretz Yisrael. But Aspecham is Tvuas Ha'aretz. Sukkos is tied intimately to the agricultural festival of gathering in the produce from the fields. Tachogu es Chag Hashem Shivas Yamim. Specifically when you gather in the produce from the fields, you should have a chag of Hashem for 7 days. By Yom Rishon Shabbos, or by Yom Shmini Shabbos. This idea of 2 days, of course, is only in Chutz Arts. The Torah is speaking. Ideally, we should not be Chutz Arts. Rachman al Tzan, the Gula should come already. The first day is a Shabbason, it's the Yom Tov, and the final day is a Shabbason, a Yom Tov. Ulakach dem lachem. Now let's look at the next pasuk. Vayikra 23:40, Chaf Gimel Mem. Ulakach dem lachem biyam arishon pre eitz hadar. You should. I know I don't have Rashi on the screen. This is just Chabad. There's so many sources where you can put pesukim on the screen. If you look in the Rashi's, which are not on the screen, you will see that Rashi delineates which of the arba meaning we are speaking about. Ulakach dem lachem biyam arishon pre eitz hadar. Rashi says zu asro. Kapos to Marim, what's the palm frond? It's the lulav. When we were zoche to be in Kibbutz Lavi for Pesach, there were baby palm trees, and my son showed me. He's like, Mommy, look, here's the lulav. It was so cool because they were really low down. They weren't very, very high up. They were still growing. Mama, see, the lulav is incredible. Pre Eitz Hadar, Rashi says the Esro, Kapos to Marim, the palm frond is the lulav. The Anaf Eitz Avos, if you look at Rashi, you'll see that Rashi says this is the Hadas. The Arve Nacho, and you don't need Rashi to tell you that Arve is our Ravos. Okay, so here you have the Arba Minim. So the first half of Perachov Gimel Pasuk Mem tells you that you should take the Arba Minim for yourself. So we have many aspects of Sukkos in this passage. The first thing we learn from this passage in Perachov Gimel Pasuk Lamed Tes is that it is also Chag HaAsif. It's not just sitting in booths, but it's the time of the gathering of the produce, Tevuas HaAretz, the produce of the land. And it makes sense. Remember, Eretz Yisrael is tied to the agricultural cycle of the year. They're dependent on this. It's like you went into a supermarket and when it was pouring rain and you could buy what they're selling in the store, and that you could buy today tomatoes from Mexico and grapes from Chile. Hello, no. What do they live on through the whole winter? They had to bring in their crops, their harvest, stored in their cold cellar, so that during the winter they had something to eat. So it's Chag HaAsif, because you are gathering in. So that's the first thing we see here. Ba'as b'cham es tvuas haaretz. Sukkos is known as Chag HaAsif. Not for naught. It's right here in front of you. You see it in the Chumash. Chaf Gimel Lamed Tes. I'm in Vayikra. The next thing we're learning is the Arba Minim, our mitzvah d'oraisa, right here, the very next pasuk. Ulokachtam lachem b'yam arishon pri eitz hadar kapos t'marim v'anaf eitz avos v'arvei nacha. The second half of pasuk mem introduces us to a concept of Sukkos that is not ba'as b'cham es tvuas haaretz, and it's not ulokachtam lachem b'yam arishon. It's the topic or idea or a midah or a mitzvah of usamachtam. Usamachtam ufnei Hashem elkechem shivas yamim. The Torah tells you not only is this Chag HaAsif, not only do you have to take the Arba Minim, but you have to rejoice on the festival. And it's a biblical command. God's not giving you, you know, a choice here. This is just like you have to take the Arba Minim, and just like you have to gather in the crops, you have to be besimcha. Usamachtam ufnei Hashem elkechem shivas yamim. I've said this many times, so it is very possible you've heard me say it over, I don't know which venue, and I don't keep it tied to a specific time of the year, but the grave of Meilech Biderman Shlita says on this pasuk, on pasuk mem, something that I think about every single time I read or learn or teach this pasuk, De'oraisa, what is a greater mitzvah, the Arba Minim or Simchas Yom Tov? It's gevaldik. Rabbi Meilech Biderman says, De'oraisa, the greater mitzvah, Simchas Yom Tov. Because regarding the Arba Minim, De'oraisa, when do you have to take it? B'yam Rishon, the Torah says it clearly. Now Chazal come along and say, no, we take it for the entire Sukkos. De'oraisa, which is a greater mitzvah? Ulakachtam lachem bayom harishon, and you should take for yourself on the first day of this chag, tachogu chag lashem, pri eitz hadar, esrog, says Rashi, kapos tmaran, got to keep it stuffy, see the baby palm trees, you can see the lulav, anaf eitz avos, says Rashi, zadas arve nachos, obviously the aravos, on the first day. But then the pasuk concludes and says, usamachtam ufnei Hashem elkechem, shivas yamim. Says Rav Meilich Bira Menshita, what's a greater mitzvah d'oraisa when it comes to Sukkos? Arba minim or simchas yom tov. The Torah tells you, beferish. You have to take arba minim on one day. You have to be besimcha 7 days. V'chagosim ochokal doesn't even need a comment, I don't think, even though I'm going to be talking much more about simcha. It's a big avoda. It says in the Rav Moshe Tversky biography, Lechot Sadev Kodesh of Vracha, he was killed in the Har Nof massacre. He was a Gaon Olam, a Rabbi of Toras Moshe, the eldest grandson of Rav Salvechek. His brother, Yibado Chaim Tovim Ve'aruchim, is Rosh Hashiva at Yeshiva University of Meir Tversky Shlita. So Rav Moshe Tversky, a Talmud, came to him before the Bein Hazmanim of Sukkos, and he was going home for the Yom Tov, and he said, Rabbi, what's my tafkid? So Rabbi said, you should be besimcha. So the Talmud said, that's it. The Rabbi said, don't think it's such an easy avoda. You need to be besimcha this entire period. V'chagosim also chag l'Hashem Shivas Yamim Bashana. You should have this festival for Hashem 7 days in the year. Chukas Olam is an eternal statue, the Dor Seh. And then we have another aspect of Sukkos. What's the next aspect of Sukkos? Going to Pasuk Mem Beis. But Sukkos Teishu Shivas Yamim. So really, this passage is very comprehensive and very beautiful and touches upon all the mitzvahs of Sukkos. Number one, it's Chag HaAsif. Number two, you have to take the Arba Minim. Number three, you have to have Simchas Yom Tov. And number four, you have to dwell in the Sukkah. So it's a very beautiful passage which really encompasses what it means to celebrate Chag HaSukkos. Sukkos takes you Shivas Yamim. And Sukkos, in Sukkos, you shall dwell, hats, booth, shelter for 7 days. Call Ezrach B'Israel, Yeshu B'Sukkos. Every resident in Israel has to dwell in Sukkos. Why? What is the purpose of Sukkos? Every one of our Yamim Tovim reminds us of something. So Chanukah reminds us, we celebrate that the Maccabi victory over the Yavanim and the Tuma of the Hellenists, and Megillas Esther, Purim, reminds us about the victory of Mordechai and Esther over Haman and Achashverosh, obviously Hashem behind the scenes, whose hand we didn't see, whose name isn't mentioned, won the victory for them. Pesach reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the great exodus from Egypt. Shavuos reminds us of Zman Matan Torasenu, the combination of the count of Sfiros Omer. Tisha B'Av Lahavdil, which is also a Moed, by the way, Kara Alai Moed, the Shbar Bachurai. Tisha B'Av reminds us of the Churban Bayis Rishon and Sheni by Babel and Rome, respectively, but it also reminds us that Hashem took out His wrath on sticks and stones, and not Knesset Yisrael. Rosh Hashanah reminds us about Briyas Olam, Hayom Haras Olam, and the Melech Malchayim Lachim. Yom Kippur reminds us it's a time to do Teshuvah. What does Sukkos remind us of? You know, it's funny. It's so oft-quoted. We know all the other ones. Why do we sit in Sukkos? So the Torah tells you specifically and explicitly why you sit in Sukkos. Vesukkos teishvu shivas yamim kala azrach b'Yisrael yeshu b'sukkos. In Sukkos you shall dwell for 7 days. I said that pasuk right. I'm sorry. Okay. Pasuk mem gibel. Laman yedu doraseichem ki b'sukkos hoshavti espenei Yisrael behotzi osam me'er. So the generation shall know that in Sukkos I caused the children of Israel to dwell when I took them out from the land of Egypt. So we have a reason for why we sit in Sukkos. Now we don't need a reason. Hashem could just say sit in Sukkos and we would. But Lamaisa, the Torah does give us a reason. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Why? What are the Sukkos? So Rabbi Kiva says the Adonai HaKavod. If you look in Rashi, you'll see. I don't know if Rashi on the screen. I know. Or it was actual booths. But Lamaisa, Hashem ensconced us and protected us when we were in the desert, where they're talking about Adonai HaKavod. Or Sukkos Mamish, it represents Hashem's protection. We were wandering through the desert, Lachdach Acharei B'midbar Be'eretz Lo Zaru. He provided us with food, man, from Shemayim. He provided us with water, Be'er Miriam. He provided us with Ananei HaKavod that raised the valleys and lowered the mountains and protected us from snakes and scorpions. And He protected us in the desert. He ensconced us in His Sukkah. And therefore, we dwell in Sukkos to remember. The Zohar calls the Sukkah Tzila, shade. Tzila de me minusa. It's Aramaic. The shade or the shelter of faith. Because when we dwell in the Sukkah, we demonstrate our amuna in the Ribono Sha'olam that He will protect us from every difficult situation and He will always save us. So what did we see in this beautiful passage? A lot. But Asbechem is Tfuas Ha'aretz. Sukkos is the Chag Ha'asif. We give thanks to Ribono Sha'olam for the tremendous bounty of Eretz Yisrael. We gather in the bounty to our storehouses. It will take us through the winter season. What else did we learn? We have to take the Arba Minim on the first day, De'oraisa. What else did we learn? De'oraisa, you have to be Besimcha, Verse 7d says the grave of Melech Biderman, which is greater, Doraisa, Arba Minim or Simcha, Simcha. How do we know? Because the Arba Minim, it says B'yam Rishon, and by the Simcha, it says Shivas Yamim. Furthermore, you have to have a Chag, La Hashem, for eternal statue for generations. Now, what else did we learn? We are commanded by Sukkos Teshuv Shivas Yamim. You must dwell in Sukkos for 7 days. And finally, we learned why we must dwell in the Sukkos, because remember that Hashem protected us when he took us out of Egypt. So every one of the Shalosh Regalim is tied in some way to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach is our physical salvation, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Avadim Hayinu L'Parav Mitzrayim, V'yotzeinu Hashem Misham B'yar Chazako V'zor Netuya. Shavuos is our spiritual redemption, Matan Torah. Really, Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't complete until there was physical redemption and spiritual redemption. You want to tie it into Pirkei Avos? Perek Vav, in the Chaben Chorim El Misha Osei B'tal Mitorah. Don't read it Charus al Aluchos, engraved on the Luchos. Read it Cherus al Aluchos, freedom from Torah, because there's no such thing as freedom. Anyone, only one who is engaged in a life of immersing themselves in Torah learning and Torah living. And then finally, we come to Sukkos, which is the culmination, which reminds us that yes, we are physically free, and yes, the Torah makes us spiritually free, but we always must sit in the Tzila de Meimenusa, the shelter of faith and Amunah, because we know that the Ribbono Shel Olam always protect us. So in this passage, we were introduced to this concept of simcha. It's a deoraisa usmachtu ufnei Hashem akechem shivas yamim. This is in Vayikra Chaf Gimel, Parshas Emor. Now I want to take you to Devarim, Perek Tesai. And could you see that I switched my screen? Do you realize this? You might not realize, but it's Pasuch Good Gimel. Okay, so now we are in Devarim, Perek Tesai. Re'ei. Chag HaSukkos Ta'asa Lecha Shivas Yamim. Sorry, this is Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Gid Gimel. You see it on my screen. Chag HaSukkos Ta'asa Lecha Shivas Yamim. The festival of Sukkos you shall make for yourself for 7 days. Ba'aspecha, we already saw that word. Where did we see it? Back in Vayicha Chav Gimel. This is the Chag HaAsif. Ba'aspecha, when you gather in from your from your threshing floor and wine pit, when you thresh the wheat. Oy vey. When you bring in the produce from the threshing floor and the wine vat. So in other words, you need to live through the winter. So you do that by gathering in. Chag HaAsif. Now here, once again, so the Torah reiterates that this is Chag HaAsif, both in Emor and in Re'eh, Vayikra Chav Gimel and Devarim Tazayin. And now what else do we learn? V'samachta b'chagecha. Now this is not new to us, because when we were in Vayikra Chav Gimel, we already learned V'samachta b'chagecha. So here again, we are reiterating. There it told us, "Usamachnu ufnei Hashem akechem shivas yamim." Here, "Vesamachta bechagacha." The Torah reiterates that you must rejoice in the festival. "Vesamachta." And note, interestingly, also, it's in the lashon yachid, not in the lashon rabim, and that's also significant because you know every single thing in the Torah is significant and not an accident. So it's speaking to every single individual Jew. "V'samachta bechagecha." It could say "usamachtem bechagechem." That would also be talking to the collective, but no one could think that he's exempt. If it's talking to the collective, I could think the mitzvah is referring to somebody else. Me? Did you know what happened to me this year? Did you hear the news I got yesterday? You think I should be b'simcha? Let that guy next to me be b'simcha. He managed to take a vacation and he married off all his children easily, and his bank account is overflowing. Let him be besimcha. This has nothing to do with me. No, v'samachta b'chagecha. No matter what position you're in or who you are, we must struggle and strive to find simcha. Everybody faces challenges in life, and yeah, the Torah says v'samachta. You, every individual b'chagecha, who should rejoice. Atu v'incha v'techa v'avdecha v'masecha v'alevi v'ger v'yasum v'alman asher b'sharecha. So when you rejoice along with your children, your son and your daughter and your manservant and your maidservant and the levi and the cover. And unfortunately, the orphan and the widow that is in your gates, Shivas Yamim, so in other words, the Rambam, famous Rambam, we're not going to do tonight, but Hilchos Yom Tov, Perak Vav, Pasuk Yit. Parak Vav Mishnah Yad Ches, where the Rambam speaks about the importance of including everybody in your Simchas Yom Tov. Shivas Yamim Techog LaShem Elkacha. For 7 days you shall have a celebration, a festival for Hashem your God. B'makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. So where are we meant to be having these Yomim Tovim? Where we're meant to be having these Yomim Tovim? New York or wherever you are, Baltimore, Lakewood. This is not where the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not saying anything bad about Lakewood or Baltimore. I'm in Woodmere. This is not B'makom Asher Yivchar Hashem. That is for sure not. The Torah is telling us that for 7 days you shall celebrate Hashem your God and the place that Hashem has chosen, which is obviously Yerushalayim, Tzion, Har HaBayis, Aliyah L'Regal, Ki V'rech Hashem Elkecha B'chol Tfuascha. God will bless you in all of your produce. Remember, it is both Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim, and it is also the Chag HaSif, and the Torah stresses that in both sources, it's very much an agricultural festival. Ki recha shemekecha b'tchol tfu ascha, Hashem will bless you in all your produce, u'b'chol maseh yadecha, and all the work of your hand, v'hayisa ach samech. So the famous v'samechta b'chagecha, v'hayisa ach samech, actually comes from right here, in Devarim, Perek Tazayin, like you see, beginning of Pasuk Yudalad, end of Pasuk Tesva. But clearly, these two sources, two different places in Chumashim, echo each other, if you will. We have this concept of gathering in the produce in both places. We have the idea or the mitzvah of Chag HaSukkos. We should rejoice. And certainly the idea of Simcha appears in both sources. In Vayikra Chav Gimel Mem, Ulakach Demlachem B'yam HaRishon, Priye Tzadar Kapost Marim, Anaf Eitz Avos V'Arvei Nachal, Usimach Demlefnei Hashem Elkechem Shivas Yamim. And then we came to Devarim Tezayin, and it's very befavish. The Samachta B'chagecha, you shall rejoice in your festival, you and your children, etc. The impoverished, and God will bless you, v'hayisa ach samech, and you will be only happy. And what does the pasuk, the next pasuk, tell us, shalosh pamim b'shana, yirel kol zechur ches p'nei Hashem akacha, b'macham asher yivchar, b'chag ha-matzos, u'b'chag ha-shavuz, u'b'chag ha-sukos, v'lera es p'nei Hashem reikam. Every person, ish k'man asyado, k'virkas Hashem akacha, asher nasan lach. Every person according to the gift of his hand, accordingly to what God blessed him. So clearly, for tonight's class, what we are focusing on is this idea of Simchas Yom Tov is an integral part of the festival of Sukkos, just like the Arba Minim. We're so careful with the Arba Minim. We should be so careful with the Arba Minim. And we're so careful with the mitzvah of Sukkah. V'sukos teishu shivas yamim. We should be so careful with the mitzvah of Sukkah. We also have to make sure to be just as careful with the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, because it is no less a de'oraisa than the other ones are. In fact, I'm going to venture to say, and I'm not just saying this, based on what Rav Meilich Biederman says, and based on the teaching from Rav Moshe Twersky, Zatzal Hashem Yinkom Damo, it's much easier to make sure that your lulav and esrog and sukkah are perfect halachically than to be fully besimcha. Maybe not for you. I don't know. I'm going to quote from the Sefer Days of Awe, Days of Joy, compilation of essays from different Rabbanim. Oh, Esther, you told me you ordered it, right? Yeah, that's how you're nodding, yeah. Okay, so I'm actually quoting from the first essay, In the Pursuit of Happiness. The first essay in the Sefer, this first essay, it's the wrong word, Mamar, okay? It's Mamar, it might be better, is from Rav Herschel Schachter Shlita. And it's called In the Pursuit of Happiness. Don't forget where we began. We began in three different Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, and Perek Vav, where we saw a strong emphasis on this Midah of Simcha, both Bein Adam Lechaveru, and also Bein Adam La'atzmo, and also Bein Adam L'makom. Hey, Makabas called Adam B'Simcha is Bein Adam Lechaveru. Sameach B'chelko is ben adam la'atzmo, and besimcha, the Mishnah says that one of the 48 traits by which Torah is acquired is besimcha, you could say, is ben adam l'makom. So simcha should permeate every aspect of our lives. By the way, I don't have a magic pill, and I don't have a magic wand, and I do not have all the answers. Just because I could teach it doesn't mean it's not a struggle. There are different times in life, and Sukkos is a time where we have to strive to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, despite the things that are going on around us, whether in our communities, very difficult Shabbos in Woodmere. Wow, very, very difficult. Two tragic sudden patiros, young individuals. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Dr. Stephen Kraus, Zichrono Livracha, and a few houses away from me, young man, 34. He ate in my neighbor's house on Rosh Hashanah. My neighbor's wife is friends with his fiance, Mr. Litton. I don't know. Despite what's going on, my husband just came back from Eretz Yisrael, where he went to be Menachem Aval. Okay, so I don't have all the answers. I don't have a magic wand. I don't have a genie lamp that I could rob and say, genie, make me happy for 7 days. I want us to work on it. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky says in his book, It's Not Just Happiness, Simcha, It's Not Just Happiness, one of his 90 books. So he says, why does David HaMelech say in Tehillim Kuf, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha? The fun of Brinana. Maybe it could be a different lashon. All right, Dr. Twersky, the great Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, Ivdu Es Hashem B'Simcha teaches you that being B'Simcha is an avoda. It's work. You have to work on it. It's not a given. It's not a promise. God's commanding you to be besimcha. It's much easier to take a perfect or as much as possible to find a very beautiful esrog and buy it and take it. It's easier. Maybe not for you, for me. It's an avoda. But you're not exempt. You saw both sources in the Chumash. We're in Vayikra Chav Gimel and in Devarim Tez Zayin. And Simcha is a big focus of Chag HaSukkos. I'm going to quote from HaRav Herschel Schechter Shlita from the Sefer, Days of Awe, Days of Joy, in the Pursuit of Happiness. He begins by saying, everyone is searching for happiness. Even in the tradition of the American Founding Fathers, all men are entitled to the pursuit of happiness. Exactly what constitutes happiness. To some it means money. To others it means kavod, honor. To others it means a yacht, a fancy ship. To others it might mean a cigarette. And yet the Pasuk in Koheles states, and I thought that this was very relevant because we read Koheles on Sukkot when King Shlomo tells us that all the vanities of this world will never bring us happiness. Sof davar hakol nishma, eselokim yirei ubekol tishma, ki zeh kol ha'adam. All the havel havalim we chase after, whether it's the money, the kavod, the yacht, the cigarette, fill in the blank, it does not bring a person besimcha. And he quotes from Koheles, Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin, whatever a man acquires will neither satisfy him nor make him happy. The Medrash, I did not look up the Medrash, actually doesn't even give the source for the Medrash, it just says that the Medrash explains as follows. What does it mean, whatever a man acquires will not make him happy? By way of a parable, if a farmer marries a princess, he will never be able to satisfy her. Even if he buys her items, says the Medrash, would be considered luxurious for a farmer. The most fancy dungarees with the most colorful patches and a lot of straw to sleep on will not make her happy. She's a princess. She's used to royal clothing, beautiful furniture, a palace, amazing jewelry. Similarly, Jewish souls are neshamas kam mitachas kisei hakavod, from beneath the throne of glory. And we are used to being close to the Shekhinah. All the money, the yacht, the cigarettes, fill in the blank, any other gashmas you could think of in the world will not bring a neshama, a Jewish neshama satisfaction. We will never have satisfaction. So the kasha is then, how do we acquire simcha? If Ben Zoma tells us, Ezu asher samech b'chalko, so does he mean to say that if you have a ship and a boat and five cars and three homes in two different countries and fancy jewelry and beautiful clothing, you'll be besimcha? What does it mean? Hasamech b'chalko. So maybe we could say that it means hasamech b'chalko. You are content when Hashem is your lot. Hasamech. I don't know. It's not written in Rav Herschel Schechter, so if it's wrong, it's me. Hasamech b'chalko. I'm proposing that maybe it means hasamech when you are satisfied b'chalko with Him as your portion. You understand what I'm trying to say? Am I making clear? Yeah? Okay. A few I could see are nodding. Yes. Good. When you are satisfied with God as your portion, that is when a person will have contentment and happiness in life. And that is when it will be ashracha b'olam haza v'tov lech l'olam haba. From Moshe Chodesh Elul, continues her Rav Herschel Schechter Shlita, until the end of Sukkos. It is customary in many communities, I don't know who doesn't, to recite the 27th parak of Tehillim at the conclusion of Tefillah. I'm sure you are all saying it. I am saying it. I'm Nesuch Sfarad, so I say Shachros and Mincha. And that parak, David HaMelech points out, he has one real request of Hashem, and it's very famous. Achos sha'alti me'es Hashem, osa avakish, what does he request? Shifti beves Hashem, kol yamechai, lachzos b'nom Hashem, ulevakar behechalo. The one and only thing that people are searching for is happiness. And David HaMelech defines happiness is, shifti beves Hashem, kol yamechai, lachzos b'nom Hashem, ulevakar behechalo. The only thing that truly brings a Jewish neshama happiness is dwelling in the house of God all the days of his life. The Pasuk tells us in Divrei HaYamim, he quotes from Divrei HaYamim, that in the presence of Hashem, there is always joy. The Gemara comments, based on this Pasuk, on when is in the presence of Hashem, there is no sadness. Either way, this just halachically explains why the Yamim Tovim cut off a period of avelos. Like my father was sitting Shiva 3 weeks ago for his brother, Lava Shalom. There's no shloshim. Why is there no shloshim? Because Yom Kippur cuts off the shloshim. Or I went to be Menachem Aval, the family of Dr. Kraus, Sheyichu, and the Shiva is very, very short because the Nifter was, the Lavaya was Sunday, and they get up Tuesday afternoon. Why? Halachically, why? Because the Yom Tov means you are Lifnei Hashem. Yom Kippur, everybody will go to witness the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. When you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you're now in the presence of Hashem. If you're in the presence of Hashem, there's pure Simcha. If there's pure Simcha, there can't be any Avedas. Shabbos does not cut off Avedas. Why? There's no mitzvah of Simcha Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. But there's no specific mitzvah per se of Simcha Shabbos. Now, you might say you wait the whole week for Shabbos, and Shabbos makes you feel besimcha, and maybe you're joining my shir tomorrow morning, and you're part of that chabura also. But there's no specific mitzvah of Simcha Shabbos, like there is B'Yom Tov. Why? On Yom Tov, Rav Salvechuk says, you go to Hashem's house. When you're in Hashem's house, how can you not be besimcha? On Shabbos, Hashem comes to your house, but you stay in your own abode. But on Yom Tov, you go to Hashem's house. By Yom Kippur, everybody goes to see the Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah. On the Shalosh Regalim, you go up to see to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you're in the Ribbono Shel Olam's house, there's no sadness. And therefore, the Simcha is so intense, being Lifnei Hashem, it cancels out the Avedas. So the Gemara comments that there's no sadness when one is in the presence of Hashem, says Rav Herschel Schachter. Jewish neshamas are used to being close to the Shekhinah from before they were born, and the only way for them to attain happiness and comfort, even while they are in this world, is to achieve the state of closeness to Hashem. The Torah often tells us, and he quotes, by the way, Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tazayin, where we were, that we must rejoice in the presence of Hashem. The Gemara understands that being in the presence of Hashem causes one to be besimcha. Because the Kohen Gadol was always in the Beis HaMikdash, it follows he is a mitzvah of simcha all year long. By the way, I just thought of something that I didn't think of when I was preparing, or I read this last year or the year before. This essay is not the first time I learned this essay. I don't think I ever taught it that I remember. But I just thought of something. Maybe that's why Aaron could not have a velus, because the Parsha Shmini, because the Kohen Gadol is always in the presence of Hashem. And if you're always in the presence of Hashem, there can't be any sadness. Why can't there be sadness? Because there's such an pure, ecstatic level of simcha from being before Hashem. And he writes here, the Gemara understands one is being in a presence of Hashem causes one to be besimcha. Because the Kohen Gadol must always be in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore it follows he has a mitzvah of simcha all year long. If he has a mitzvah of simcha all year long, then Aaron can't mourn. The rest of Klal Yisrael has a mitzvah specifically on the Shalosh Regalim, which is the psukim that we examine both in Vayikra Chav Gimel and in Devarim Tes Zayim. And we all have, at those times, an obligation to visit the Beis HaMikdash. We enter a state of Lifnei Hashem. And when we enter a state of Lifnei Hashem, there's pure Simcha. There is a dispute amongst the Tanaim, the sages of the Mishnah, as to whether there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Are those times of Simcha, or are they times of Yiram Pachad? The accepted opinion is there is a mitzvah of Simcha on these days as well, which would explain why the Shiva and the Shloshim are cut off by Yom Kippur, because it's a time of Simcha. Rav Salvechik explains, Malki Sultan, listen, Rav Salvechik explained that the prophets compare, he mentions the word prophets in the next sentence, here I go, prophets compare sins to a mechitza. A sin is an impediment, a boundary, a wall between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. When one does teshuvah, you can return to the original state of Lifnei Hashem. When you do teshuvah, the wall is removed. If the wall is removed, you're now before God. If you're before God, you're besimcha. So what is the most absolute source of simcha for a year? Being Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Because on Yom Kippurim, there's a special mitzvah of teshuvah. And the obligation of teshuva lifts the barrier. You will find yourself Lifnei Hashem. And so there's a special mitzvah of simcha on Yom Kippurim. The Gemara points out further that the purpose of blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah is to bring before Hashem the remembrance of the Jewish people. The shofar is a form of tefillah. When we blow shofar, it's considered like we are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the presence of Hashem. When you're in the presence of Hashem, it's a state of simcha. So in other words, what he's showing to us here is that this entire time period is really one of simcha. Beginning on Rosh Hashanah, when we blow shofar, we have a zikaron tov before Hashem. Shofar is connected being in the Kodesh HaKadosh. When you're in the Kodesh HaKadosh, you're Lifnei Hashem. When you're Lifnei Hashem, you're besimcha. Yom Kippurim is a mitzvah of teshuva. When you're osik in teshuva, the mechitzas habarzel, the iron partition that separates between us and God, is lifted. If the partition is lifted, now there's no partition. You're before Hashem. Before Hashem, you're besimcha. Sukkos, it says it explicitly in the Chumash in both places, like we saw. Interestingly, he brings us a proof from Cain. When Cain killed his brother Hevel, by the way, we're starting Parshas Bereishis, we begin Parshas Bereishis, Maaseh Bereishis, I should say, on Simchas Torah. When Cain killed his brother Hevel, he realized on his own he would be punished. He assumed his punishment would be he was going to be banished, he would no longer be in the presence of Hashem. And the Chumash states this was his punishment. He had to leave. He became a wanderer, nad v'nad. He had to leave the presence of Hashem. What does this mean? The Ramban explains in Parshas Bereishis, to be in the presence of Hashem, how does it lead to simcha? Being in the presence of Hashem, listen carefully, says the Ramban, one is the ability to daven, tefillah, and offer karbanos. Cain was denied the rights now to pray and to offer karbanos. So that means when you come before Hashem with tefillah, it's an intense simcha. No other king in the world has time or space or an appointment slot for mere commoners. Try knocking on Buckingham Palace, I don't know, no name, an anonymous, a nobody, a Joshua, in the middle of the day, and say, I know I didn't check the schedule, you know, with, what is it, King Charles III he's called. I didn't check the schedule with King Charles III, but, you know, I'm really from, you know, the backwater of I don't know where. And I really have some, you know, a request, I'd like to see him. What do you think they would do for you? Nothing. That's what they would do for you. But when you're before God, you're Lifnei Hashem. How do we access Lifnei Hashem? Today we can't go to the base of Mikdash. Mipnei, we said on Yom Kippur. I'm going to say it on Sukkos. Mipnei chata'inu galinu me'artzenu. Minisrachaknu me'al maseinu. I've told you before, I don't know what Shir. Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnensfeld says, Zecher Tzadik Levrecha, the rabbi of the old yeshuv at the turn of the last century. These are not the same thing. Mipnei chata'inu galinu me'artzenu means because of our sins, we're in galus. But in Galus we forget about Eretz Yisrael. We remove ourselves. We're far from away in mind and heart from Eretz. So we become content. It's not so bad here, we say. Because of our sins, the Babylonians and then the Romans destroyed the first and the second temple. But we are far away from our land, meaning we remove ourselves from our land. So how can we daven? How can we have Lifnei Hashem? Where's the simcha? We don't have karbanos. We don't have a kohen gadol. We don't have the avodah yom kippurim. We don't have the scarlet thread turning white. We don't have siyal hashem and siyal hazazel. We don't have aliyah the regal like we saw in the psukim. The Ramban explains to be in the presence of Hashem means one is the ability to daven and the right to offer karbanos. This was denied to Kayim, but it is not denied to us. We all have the ability to daven, which brings us to a state of simcha. I always really over-prepare. Okay, I'm just going to try and get through it. Not that I can't, it's just the time, I don't know. When the serpent was punished for having... So Cain is Perek Dalet. Now we go back a Perek to Perek Gimel. Okay, what was the punishment of the Nachash? You will eat dust all the days of your life. That's not so bad. Everybody goes to the food. I'm just saying it in my own words now because I don't have time to actually quote the essay inside. Okay, maybe a little. Although the serpent will no longer eat delicious food, whatever he eats will always taste like sand. There's a positive side to the punishment. He'll never have to worry about parnasa. He'll never have to worry about food. Sand is available all over. From now on, the serpent will never have dagas parnasa. That's a curse. It seems like a brecha. Imagine never having dagas parnasa. Imagine never having to go to the supermarket, never having to prepare the food, cook the food, put away the food, wash the dishes, store the food, organize the fridges. Wherever you go, there's sand. Not so bad. At first glance, the comment of the Medrash seems strange. It would seem for the serpent, his avera paid off. His avera paid off. You're being rewarded. A famous explanation is offered by the great Hasidic Rebbe of Itzala Serker. Because the serpent would never be lacking anything, he would have no right to daven. God didn't want to hear from him anymore. That's the greatest punishment. It's being banished, milifnei Hashem. When a person is banished, milifnei Hashem, rechman al-tzan, there is never simcha. Tefillah is permitted when a person realizes his needs are lacking, and then he comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then he stands before God, leads to a place of true simcha. The Gemara points out, concludes Rav Herschel Shechter, that since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the only way, there's one more way to have simcha. Tefillah is one, we just established. He doesn't quote where the Ramban is on Sefer Bereishis, just says Ramban to say Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis is 6 prakim and 8 psukim long. Goes to Perek Vav Pasaches. It's somewhere about Kayin. I could probably look up. I didn't have time. Fine. Also cooking for Yantav and shopping for Yantav, etc. But it's this idea that what was Kayin's punishment? He couldn't bring karbanos anymore. Karban in those days, today we have tefillah instead. The karban karav was the way to come close to Hashem. When you're banished from before Hashem, there's no simcha. And we have to ask ourselves, and Musar Aska, what brings us simcha in life? What brings us true simcha? Rav Heschel Schachter says, is it a yacht? Is it a cigarette? Is it a sports game? Is it a vacation home? We should enjoy life, and Hashem put us here to enjoy this world. And he made a very beautiful world. He didn't make a boring world. But what brings a yid simcha? Hasamech b'chelko. I'm proposing this evening that perhaps it means when you are satisfied that God is your portion, that's when you have simcha. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, and here we come to the last explanation of Rav Heschel Schachter, what can bring us simcha. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Yod Tes, Toras Hashem Temima, Meshivas Nefesh, Eidus Hashem Ne'emana Machkimas Pesi. We sing it on Simchas Torah. Toras Hashem Temima, the Torah of Hashem is pure. Meshivas Nefesh, it restores the soul. The soul that is thrown to this very turbulent world, that's used to being close to Hashem, has a restoration from the Torah of Hashem. Machkimas Pesi makes a simple person wise. Eidus Hashem Ne'emana. I said a little of order. So as Rav Heschel Schachter, the Gemara points out that since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, what is the way to enter the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? There's no more Ali L'Regel. Even if you're in Eretz Yisrael today, there's no Ali L'Regel and there's no Beis HaMikdash. M'pnei Chataeinu Galinu. The only way to enter Maseches Brachos Ches Amar Aleph, the presence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is by learning Torah. I am sure that along with me, you feel a tremendous sense of simcha from learning Torah. It's because you're Lifnei Hashem. We believe the Torah is a description of Hashem's essence. And when one engages in Torah study, he gets a better understanding of the Ribbono Shel Olam Kaviyacha. And then you become closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Gemara says in Tamid, Lamed Beis Beis, when one learns Torah at night, the Shechina will be there in front of him. So how do we access Simcha today? We don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have Aliyah L'Regel, we don't have Ba'as B'chem, Es Tfuas Ha'aretz. And nevertheless, the Torah says, "Usmach lamof nei Hashem akechem shivas yamim." So we have to use the tools that the Ribbono Shel Olam does provide to us, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash and in the presence of Galus. We have the koach tefillah. Cain was banished; he could not daven. The serpent was punished. When there's no tefillah, there's no connection. You're not alf nei Hashem. There's no simcha. And also Torah, Liman Torah brings a person to a tremendous state of Torah, of Simcha. Lulei soras chashashuai, the psukim lamed in Perkuf Yotas. Lulei soras chashashuai is a vadati v'ani. Happiness, says Rav Heschel Schachter, can be attained. We all have the opportunity and the privilege to one, daven, and two, learn Torah. And he concludes by quoting from Tehillim, Kuf Chaf Beis, I rejoice when they tell me, L'chu v'na'ala obeis Hashem. Let us go up to the home of Hashem. Today, how can we access that state of simcha in the absence of the physical house of Hashem? We can access the simcha through tefillah and Torah. Limud Torah, learning Torah, living Torah, loving Torah, and sharing Torah. It's all up to us! Exclamation mark. So let us just finish up our shir, going back to the Mishnayos in which we began. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Rabbi Yishmael teaches us, Hevi mekablas kol adam besimcha. Perhaps we can say, mean, share your Dvar Torah with others. Share your Dvar Torah and you will bring somebody to simcha. Ben Zoma says, Ezo asher samech bechelko. Perhaps tonight we propose it means one who is satisfied with God as his portion. Samech bechelko. If any of the Mepharshim write this pshat, I'd be very happy to see it. Ha, no pun intended. So if you come across it, let me know. Samech bechelko. When you're happy that the Ribbono Shel Olam is your portion, that's a true simcha. What are two of the 48 traits? Chayil, Ishus Chayil, by which Torah is acquired. One, to be besimcha. And finally, to be once again Samech Bechalko. We could say Hevim is called besimcha, represents Bein Adam Chaveru. Samech Bechalko represents Bein Adam La'atzmo. And to be besimcha is Bein Adam La'makom. So the Pasuk tells us, we will conclude. Should give us the kochos to achieve the state of simcha, to recognize we are lifnei Hashem, to access and appreciate the gifts of both tefillah and Torah, to bring us closer to the presence of God until the great day at Bias Kol Tzedek, when we will truly be able to say l'chu v'na'ala al beis Hashem, al har l'chu v'na'ala El Har Hashem, El Beis Hashem Elokeinu. I thank our two sponsors, one who is just sponsoring for the sake of sponsoring Torah Lishma, Shabbi Zichros Latova to her and entire wonderful family, and the other to Mrs. Sarah Bodner Pfeffer upon her marriage to Mr. Harry Bodner Pfeffer. We wish them much simcha, ad mea v'eshrim shana, and good health together. Big mazel tov. Thank you so much. We will meet the Thursday after Bereshis, after the Yomim Tovim. If you are able to help us out and you're interested in being a sponsor going into November, please reach out to me. Tizkul mitzvos ulamaisim tovim v'samachta b'chagacha v'hayisa ach sameach. Thank you so much, everybody. And good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.